Good morning.
Good morning.
Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Wanted to do that for a while. It's fun to do it. Any announcements? I don't see any in the bulletin that we need to note. I don't, Diane, any for us? I know Chosen this week again. Is it the last week for Chosen? That's what I thought. So if you can, come to that. I wasn't there last week, but I'm excited to be here again for this week and to go through. It's the last episode of the season too. So yeah, we'll be finishing that up, and then I guess we'll be starting another one next year, or I guess next fall, or this fall, coming fall, whatever you want to call it. But outside of that, that's really all I really have outside of the meeting after church today. If you're supposed to be there, or if you want to be there. You don't have to stay, I don't think, but you're more than welcome to be here. So, but with that, let's go ahead and begin with our opening hymn.
Christ the Lord is risen today. Alleluia. Christians, hasten on your way. Alleluia. Offer praise with love replete.
Rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
As directed by our Lord, let us together confess our sins. Merciful Lord, Almighty Father,
we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart.
We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves.
We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name.
Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy upon us and has given His only Son to die for us, and for His sake forgives us all of our sins. To those who believe in His name, He gives the power to become the children of God and has promised them His Holy Spirit. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, grant that we who have celebrated the Lord's resurrection may by your grace confess in our life and conversation that Jesus is Lord and God, through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated for our scripture readings. Our first reading for the second Sunday in Easter is from Acts chapter 5. Now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the rest dared to join them, but the people held them in high esteem, and more than ever believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on the cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. The people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. But the high priest rose up, and all who were with him, that is, the party of the Sadducees, and filled with jealousy, they arrested the apostles and put them into public prison. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, "Go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle reading comes from Revelation chapter 1. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. All tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos, on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind him a loud voice like a trumpet saying, "Write what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamum, and to Thyatira, and to Sardis, and Philadelphia, and to Laodicea." Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace. And his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead, but he laid his right hand on me, saying, "Fear not. I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have seen, who have not seen, and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We now confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated. I invite our children forward for a brief children's message. Hi, Violet.
Hi.
Hi, Barrett. Now, what was last Sunday? I know I was here. Not quite.
Easter.
It was Easter, right. We talked about Palm Sunday last Sunday, though, too, a little bit. So what is this week? Do you guys talk about Thomas a little bit?
Yeah.
Yeah?
A whole lesson we did.
Oh, was it? Okay. Well, what's kind of fun is that Thomas, if we track Easter, it was about a week later when Thomas actually saw Jesus. So we actually get to kind of celebrate that today, that Thomas saw Jesus after 8 days after his resurrection. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Now, what did Thomas do?
He said, "I will have to feel his nails in his side."
Yeah, right. And so Thomas was wanting to see Jesus like the rest of the apostles, wasn't he? The apostles, Jesus appeared to them, and the disciples saw him, and he showed them his hands and his side and his feet. He said, "Peace be with you." And the disciples were kind of scared that first Easter. Even though we know they had the hope that Jesus was risen from the dead, they didn't know what to do yet. They were locked away, weren't they? Locked in that room. And so Jesus came to them, and he offered them comfort by raising up his hands and saying, "Peace be with you." And they saw those marks of his crucifixion. And then Thomas, like you said, he didn't believe.
Yeah, but he actually, and then when he couldn't believe that he actually, it was him.
Right, he finally saw Jesus and he was overjoyed that he said, "My Lord and my God," didn't he? But what did Jesus say to Thomas after that?
No.
Blessed are those who have not seen yet believe. Now, who was there? I mean, the disciples saw Jesus, right?
Yeah.
And Thomas just saw Jesus, right?
Mary was there when
he rose. Yeah, right. Mary Magdalene saw Jesus risen too. And so what do you think, why did Jesus say that? Blessed are those who have not seen.
Because Because he just rose from the dead.
Yeah, he rose from the dead.
And then we know that he went up to heaven.
We believe, but we have not seen.
Exactly. Good job. Right, both of you are right. Jesus was risen from the dead, but we haven't seen Jesus either. We don't get to see those marks of his crucifixion and see the risen body of him present with us, but we know that he comes to us in his, when we hear about the word of God, doesn't he? That when we hear that, Jesus is offering us the same peace that Thomas got, and that peace is really that we know that we're also going to be raised with him too. That we get to have eternal life, right? And so that's really what Jesus was getting at, is that he said that for us, not for them, because everybody there had seen Jesus and after his resurrection, but we haven't. But we get to have the hope that everything that he wrote, and that's what John went on to say, that these things were written so that we might believe. That all the disciples wrote these things down for us, didn't they? Mm-hmm. So that we know that Jesus rose from the dead, and we can have faith that all of that is true. So let's go ahead and join in a word of prayer. So repeat after me. Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
Thank you for raising from the dead.
Thank you for raising from the dead.
And that you appeared to the disciples and Thomas.
That you appeared to the disciples and Thomas.
And showed them the marks of the cross.
And showed them the marks of the cross.
We pray that even though we haven't seen.
We pray that even though we haven't seen.
That we might have faith in the words of Scripture.
That we may have faith in the words of Scripture.
Knowing that our sins are forgiven.
Knowing that our sins are forgiven.
And that we have the hope of the resurrection as well.
And we have the hope of the resurrection as well.
All of this we pray in your name.
All of this we pray in your name.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, you guys can go back to your seats. At this time, we will sing our hymn of the day.
Crown him with many crowns, bow upon the throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns a music but its own. Awake my soul and sing of him who died for thee. In the Virgin Son, the God incarnate born, whose arm those crimson trophies won, which now his brow adorn, fruit of the mystic rose, yet on that rose a stem, the root whence mercy flows, the babe of Bethlehem. Crown him the King, Lord of love. Behold his hands and side, which wounds yet visible above, in beauty glorified. No angels in the sky can fully bear their sight, but downward bend your burdened voice at mystery so bright. Crown him the Lord of life, who triumphed o'er the grave, then rose victorious in the strife for those he came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring, and lives that death may die. Crown him the Lord of heaven, enthroned in worlds above. Crown him the King to whom is given crown him with many crowns, as thrones for him fall. Crown him, ye kings, with many crowns, for he is king of all.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Alleluia. We always begin Easter, of course, on Easter Sunday. But with that, we always join into this great celebration, knowing that our Lord is risen from the dead, that we gather together with special music. I know last week we had the choir sing here. Other places we get all the instruments that we can involved, we have the ability to, and get all those fun things going on just to show how great and special of a day it is. And we also, I know, had a breakfast here that I was unfortunately not able to be at because of all the stuff that we had at St. Paul also, but we also did that over there, had a little breakfast. So we have breakfast and brunches and lunches together with friends and family in our congregations to show how great of a day that is. And we know how great of a day it was. We know the story of the resurrection, Mary Magdalene running off to the tomb early in the morning only to find it empty, and then finding Jesus, who she thought at first was a gardener, and turns around, and eventually she says to him, Rabboni, and she knows that it's her risen Lord, and she has that peace and that comfort then and there, knowing her sins are forgiven. We also know of the other women that went to the tomb, finding it empty, and then angels appeared to them, saying, why are you looking for the dead among the living, or the living among the dead? They're looking for them, and the angels spoke to them, and they go back, and they tell all the disciples. And then we know of Peter and John going in a little bit faster, as he tells us, gets to the tomb and they stoop in and they find an empty tomb. And so they have this great excitement. But John kind of depicts a little bit of a different side of this that first Easter evening, though, doesn't he? That all of those disciples that know of this hope and know that Jesus is risen, or at least they know the tomb is empty. They don't know maybe exactly everything and all the details, whether they believe everything that's been told so far, but they're locked away in this room in fear, not knowing what to do. Whether his body has been risen or not, they're still a bit uncertain, but it was then that Jesus comes into the room and he says, peace be with you, raising up those hands and showing them the marks of his crucifixion, and they finally have that comfort. But there's just kind of one problem. There's one thing missing, or maybe we could say one person missing, Thomas. You know, Thomas wasn't there. And so, of course, they try to tell him, Jesus came and appeared to us and offered us that peace and comfort of the marks of the crucifixion. And he just doesn't believe. He doubts. And we all know of doubting Thomas. But that doesn't change the fact, though, that what happened was true. And what they saw actually were the wounds of Jesus, which brought them peace. And those same wounds offer us peace, even though we haven't seen them ourselves. And I think so often, Thomas almost gets a bad rap. We look at him and go, well, how can't you believe all of these people telling you this information? Why wouldn't you? And he's kind of like this big goofball. We always go, oh, doubting Thomas. But, I mean, just put yourself in his shoes, that all these things are happening around you, and you might think that either they just missaw something, but you want to see it for yourself. And really, what we see in the text is it took Jesus appearing to all of the others to begin with, for them to have that comfort and that joy also. That as soon as he did, they had that peace of mind knowing that their sins were forgiven and that Jesus actually was risen from the dead and they had the hope of the resurrection themselves. And so we can understand putting ourselves in Thomas's shoes, understanding why he says to them, unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. And we know that the story doesn't end there, though, that Thomas, after 8 days, gets to see the risen Lord himself, gets exactly what he asked for and feels the side and sees the marks of his nails. And he finally has that peace that the apostles that were present that Easter evening received. And he knows his sins are forgiven and that peace was his and that Jesus had defeated death itself. And so that he too would rise again. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
But the thing about Thomas, though, is that you and I know him. I don't mean literally. You know, we We don't know a Thomas or the Thomas of Scripture, but we do know Thomas, and that we know people like him. We know people that struggle with this truth of the resurrection, and Thomas thought it was all too good to be true. This just can't be. Until I see Jesus myself, I can't believe this. And so you might have friends or even family members, your brother, your sister, your own children maybe, that struggle with this. And if you were honest, maybe yourself at times in the past, I hope not presently, but if you are struggling with it, we can also know that Jesus offers us that same peace. And that's why I think this story hits so close to home, and we always focus so heavily on Thomas himself, is because Thomas is a very real person to us in the world around us. We see people exactly like him. And we don't really know what those 8 days in between the first Easter and when Jesus appeared to Thomas were like, but we can kind of guess because we've been there. We know of people that have struggled with this belief, and so the disciples probably continue to talk to him and saying, we saw the risen Jesus. Please believe this. And it had to be painful because of how close Thomas was to Jesus and to themselves at this point, having been in this great ministry with Christ for about 3 years. It was hurtful to see Thomas struggling with this belief because they now knew that this hope was for them and for Thomas himself. And we've been there too. We struggle knowing that people don't always believe this, and those close to us struggle with this belief also. And we could tell them time and time again, but sometimes it just is like bounces right off of them. They don't believe. And we don't know really from Thomas's perspective, but likely he just kept denying throughout the week, I can't believe this. I need to see it. And we know people like that too. I mean, Scripture doesn't tell us, but clearly he was still struggling by the 8th day because Jesus appeared to him, and that's when he finally gets on his hands and knees and says, my Lord and my God. And that's why this story is so memorable to us, that we know of this pain. We know that people don't always accept the truth of Scripture and know that Jesus is risen from the dead, and that that's our hope also. But I think knowing that there are people out there that think the resurrection is all too good to be true makes us have like a little fire to go out and share it a little bit. And that's really what the disciples at this point did. They had locked themselves away in that room and were afraid to go out and share it, but now they had the hope to go share it. They had the joy of knowing that this is something I have to share because it's greater than myself. And likely, all their words to Thomas were throughout that week not helpful to him. He found it tough, but their words were still effective because they prepared Thomas to have the risen Lord appear to him. And it prepared their heart, his heart, for when Jesus would come to him. And that's, I think, similar to what we do as well. The apostles were probably frustrated time and time again because their words they were hoping had an effect on his soul, and they wanted him so dearly to believe. But I think we struggle with that as well. We know people that we talk to and talk to and talk to, and it doesn't matter what we say, it doesn't matter how good our arguments are crafted, it doesn't matter how flowery our words are, they still might not believe what we have to say. And I think that's the caution for us here as well, is knowing that it doesn't matter exactly how we phrase it or how many times we say the truth or how hard we believe it ourselves, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to convert somebody to believing in Jesus. But it is still the Word of God being spoken. And whenever the truth of Scripture is spoken, the risen Lord and the Holy Spirit are living and active. And that's what we can learn from Thomas, is that it just took some time. It took him 8 days, and eventually the risen Lord appeared to him. And, you know, we don't see Jesus physically, and if you have, we could maybe talk about it. I'd be curious. But I do know that he does come to us in his word, and that he offers us that same peace that Thomas and the apostles received when he spoke to us. We receive that same comfort. And so we could sit here and say, oh, well, that's good for Thomas. That's good for the apostles and all those others that saw the risen Jesus, but he's not here now. What about us? But that's really what we have to look at with our text is, as I said to the kids, what did Jesus say to Thomas after the fact? After he had gotten exactly what he had asked for, he looked at the disciples and he said, blessed are those who have not seen yet believe. And it's not like Thomas needed to hear that. And you know, I think some people think, oh, this is Jesus wagging his finger at Thomas. Shame on you. You should have believed me, you dumb. But I don't think that's what he's doing here, because everybody in that room had seen the risen Jesus. And so I think he's actually saying this for you. He's saying it for each and every one of you, that you know that your sins are forgiven, that the risen Lord is there, and we don't have to see the risen Jesus to believe that this is true. We don't have to see him in the same way that he appeared to the disciples to know that the apostles recorded a faithful account of the history of salvation to the world, and know that what they wrote down means what it means and says what it says, that this is the word of God and that it's living and active, because Jesus said himself that we have a God of the living, not of the dead, and he himself is living. And of course, this is why John followed up this passage by saying the words, "These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you might have life in his name." He's summarizing the whole of Scripture. He's summarizing what the resurrection means for everybody. And, I mean, John lived through this, and he knows what he's recording is going to benefit your eternal soul, that you might have that forgiveness, and that the hope of the resurrection is now yours. And it is here where the risen Christ still appears to us, raising up those marks, showing the marks of his passion, and continues to give us that peace. He is here with us today, just not necessarily the same way that he was with them that first Easter. And it is here where that same truth that Thomas wrestled with is shared, where that same peace now infiltrates our own heart and gives us that same hope of the resurrection. And so as we look to the cross, this is why we often have Jesus on the cross. Not everywhere does it, but I think it's helpful, because Jesus appeared with his marks, right? That we might see those marks. And it wasn't to show them, "Oh, look at what you did to me at this point." That's what Good Friday's for. But what Easter and the hope of Easter is for is saying that those marks were bore for us so that we don't have to. That his risen body is different than what ours will be, just in one way, that he has the marks of the crucifixion because is what makes him worthy to be worshipped. But we won't have the marks of our earthly life. We don't have to worry about the pains and the struggles and all the things that we have, and that's the great hope of that resurrection, that peace and comfort, knowing that our sins are forgiven, but also that Christ crushed death and the devil for us, that we no longer fear what life would be like without it. And of course, none of us have seen those wounds of the risen Lord, but we can look to this, at least today, and see them a little bit, at least imagine what they were like. But when the word of God is spoken, our Lord, who is living and active and in our lives, still offers that same peace to you. And when the comfort of that forgiveness of what Jesus won for us is spoken, it is here where the risen Jesus is offering you the same peace that Thomas and all the others received that first Easter, and Thomas 8 days later. And we should take the opportunities of going out and finding people like Thomas, but we shouldn't get frustrated with them or thump them on the head all the time, hoping that our eloquent words or our arguments are going to win them over. We just preach the word or give them the word of Jesus, knowing that it's true and that that's actually beneficial. And like we see with Thomas, it might take time. It might take time for those people that we love to come to faith, and that's okay, because the Lord works on his own time. That hope of the resurrection is yours. Our risen Lord continues to show those marks here today with his crucifixion, through the proclamation of his word, and we know forever that we have peace and comfort, knowing that our sins are forgiven and that the resurrection is our hope when he returns. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
In the name of Jesus, amen. At this time, we will gather our tithes and our offerings.
Jesus lives, the victory's won, death no longer can appall me. Jesus lives, death's reign is done, from the grave will Christ recall me. Brighter scenes than shall be my confidence, Jesus.
Please rise for prayer. Father in heaven, we give thanks that you have sent your only Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior, recalling this Easter season that he did not remain in the grave, but has been risen from the dead. This Easter, fill our hearts with the same hope of the resurrection, knowing that because Christ has been raised from the dead, that we too will be raised in the life to come. We pray for the whole church, that you may uphold and strengthen her in this world, raising up those who faithfully proclaim and teach your word. We pray especially for Zion as they go through this vacancy. Grant guidance throughout the coming year so that the congregation can still be fed your word faithfully and consistently. For the members of this congregation, O Lord, we give thanks. Bless their time in worship that they might be filled and nurtured in their faith, knowing that you offer them great and abundant mercy. We also lift before you those who are sick or struggling with long-term afflictions. We especially pray for Dwayne, Alice, Margaret, Bernetta, Bill, Gary, Bryceton, Joe, Kim, Andrew, Brandy, Maverick, Heather, Gary, Michael, Ray, Chelsea, Norma, Ron, Holly, Betty, Leo, Marisol, and Tom. Lord, grant that they might receive compassion and healing and give them your peace. And lastly, we pray for this nation that you might bring about changes in the hearts of man, turning them to your word. We ask especially that you might guide our President Donald, leading all in authority, to make godly decisions that support and defend your word. Trusting in our Lord and his promises, we boldly pray the prayer he taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord look upon us with his favor and give us his peace.
Amen. Amen.
We now sing our closing hymn.
I know that my Redeemer lives. What comfort this sweet sentence gives. He lives, he lives, who once was dead. He lives, my ever-living head. He lives. blessings to impart. He lives all glory to his name. He lives my Jesus still the same. Oh, the sweet joy.